Pastor, it's the weekend to party and drink green beer. No, no, no. That is not what St. Patrick's is all about. Did you know that St. Patrick's Day is way more than just shamrocks, leprechauns, and green beer? So St. Patrick was the patron saint of Ireland. He was born in Britain, not Ireland, near the 4th century. At age 16, he was kidnapped by Irish raiders and sold as a slave to a Celtic priest in the area that's now Northern Ireland. After toiling for 6 years as a shepherd, one day he escaped and was able to go back to Britain. But during that time, the things that he heard and learned, he would continue to study. And Patrick is known for bringing Christianity to Ireland. And so I'm thankful. I'm Irish. Irish and Dutch Irish. And I'm glad he brought Christianity. And maybe there was five brothers, five pretties that came over from Ireland that landed, I guess, there at that came through Ellis Island. But because of sickness or something on the way, I think only two or three survived. And so we all come from them somewhere. But I'm just glad that it's more than just the shamrock. Except he used the shamrock to describe the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. So it's more than just a flower. It's more than just a holiday. It's more just than a day to party. I mean, there was a reason, and you can look back and look at all that history. But we celebrate today the fact that somebody is still taking Christianity to the world. Amen? There's always been men and women who have given their hearts, given their lives to spread the good news of the gospel. And because of that, entire nations, Christianity has spread. And I thank God today for our missionaries that are still giving their life to spread the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm going to give you a little quote from him later, and it's just going to be a good day. Well, we are in our series of less. No? What is it? More. This is the year for more. Amen. I don't want less. I want more. And so we're all the way up to point number 12. Wow. We've had a lot of more, haven't we? Oh, my goodness. We want more Jesus. We want more Holy Ghost. We want more, amen, love and joy and peace and power. We want more souls. We want more workers. Amen. We talked about it 2 weeks ago. More money. Need some more money, don't we? To be able to fulfill the call of God upon our lives, to do what God has called us to do. But today, I want to talk to you. I was hoping everybody would be here this morning. I was hoping every chair was full, because today, everybody needs this. This message, everybody needs. So you know what? I encourage you, share it on Facebook. Go share it with your neighbor and tell them you need this. I need this. Everybody say, Pastor needs more this. Yeah. Let's talk about it today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your goodness. We thank you for the anointing that we felt in worship. We just ask you, Lord, to let your word open our hearts. And Lord, just reveal more to us. We thank you, as Brother Scott taught us last week, the more is in our mouth. So Lord, I declare today with my mouth, more. In Jesus' name, everybody said amen. Number 12. More joy. Woo! We're going to talk about more joy. We're going to talk about more fun. We're going to talk about more laughter. Listen, I don't know about you, but I need some more joy in my life. I need something to make me smile. I need something to get me up in the morning. I need something to share with somebody else. Because when you have a life that is empty and dry and sad and bitter, you don't have anything to give. And what you're giving and what you're spreading is not what you need to be. Hey man, we have enough people out there spreading hate, spreading fear, spreading anxiety, spreading worry. Oh, but I'm telling you, God is calling the church, amen, to spread joy. He is calling us, amen, to have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Can I get an amen? If y'all will say amen better, I'll preach better. Listen, we only have half the crowd here. That means you have to double amen. Joy. Everybody say joy. Joy. You know, all the time. I say it all the time. Clap for joy. And my son used to say, who's joy? Who are we clapping for? Clap for joy. Well, who is joy? Besides my cousin. I have a cousin named Joy up in New Mexico. Joy. Listen to this. Joy is the emotion evoked by well-being, success, or good fortune, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires. Now, I just want to present to you this morning that joy, listen, all is well with my soul. I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I know where I'm going when I die. That ought to give me some joy. I know all is well. All well may not be in the world. All may not be well in my own home and family. I may not have all the money I need or all the health or all the whatever. But I know, amen, that I know that I know that Jesus is my Lord. And I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. And that should give me joy. I know that I have good success. I know that the Lord is going to make my ways to prosper. He said, whatever I put my hands to do would prosper. Amen. If I will do it right. We taught you about that a couple weeks ago. That should bring you joy. Oh, listen. He said, by the prospect of possessing what you desire. What do you desire? Listen, all that the Lord has put in your heart, listen, He is making it happen, and that ought to bring you joy. But I'm telling you today, it's not the joy like the world gives. See, what you experience in the world is called happiness. What is happiness? One of the definitions of happiness is a pleasurable or satisfying experience. Now, do you have one of those every day? Sometime I do, sometime I don't. I hope you have a pleasurable and satisfying experience at church today. But I can't guarantee it. You might like what I preach. You might not. Somebody might speak to you. They might not. I don't know. I hope your experience is here. But you know what? I don't know when you go to Walmart if you're going to have a satisfying experience. I don't know at lunch today, when you get to lunch, I don't know if your cup will always stay full and your food will come fast. I don't know that. In life, we don't always get what we want, and things are always not pleasurable and satisfying, and it don't always make us happy. Happiness comes by experiences, and our experiences are not always happy. I mean, when we experience things, that emotion of happiness, I mean, like a while ago, when little Talita fell down, Talia. We have a Talita and a Talia. When little Talia fell down, that did not make me happy. That did not make me go, woo-hoo-hoo-hoo. That's the wrong emotion. You know, somebody comes to you and they share, you come to me, Pastor. Pastor, I'm just having a hard time. I mean, you're going to be offended. We got to know when to laugh. We've got to know. But listen, I may be sad because of an experience, but I can still be full of joy. Because my experiences do not affect my joy. I may not be happy every day, but I can be joyful every day. Amen. So let's look here. John chapter 15, verse number 11. Oh, listen, I love this scripture. These things have I spoken unto you. This is Jesus. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy. Everybody say his joy. The joy of the Lord. He said that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Let me ask you a question. Today, is your joy full? Is your joy full to the top? Is it overflowing? If not, what do you need? You need some more joy, don't you? Oh, we could all use a little bit more joy. Life has a way of draining your joy. Situation, circumstances, people. I'd have been a good place to say amen right there, but you're scared to because it's the one beside you. Draining your joy, sucking the joy right out of you. You're like, oh, I don't want to say amen too loud. He said that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Oh, I want to be full of joy. I want my joy to be full and overflowing. It was Job. How many remembers Job? Job said, there's a lot of people won't read that chapter. They won't even read that book. They think it's Job, and they don't want one. Anyway, Job chapter 3, verse number 22. They're filled with joy. Somebody say hallelujah. They're filled with joy when they finally die. What? And rejoice when they find the grave. I don't want to wait till I die to get joy. I don't want to wait till I'm in the grave, till they lower me down and throw dirt on me, till I find some joy. Listen, I want to have some joy today. Huh? I want to have the joy of the Lord. I want to experience joy unspeakable and full of glory. I want to experience the goodness of God. I want to experience the grace and the mercy and the love of God. And when we faith, when we experience God, we experience joy. See, everybody else is looking for happiness. See? Yeah. You can't, listen to me. You can't drink enough green beer to get joy. Huh? You can get happy, and then you get sick. It don't satisfy. It doesn't last. It's temporary. But the joy of the Lord is eternal. And you can have the joy of the Lord here. You can experience His joy. You don't have to wait till you find the grave until you die. Listen, I want to experience joy right now. And joy comes partially from doing right. Did you know joy comes? Because when you do right, it makes you feel good. And you know that you're in right standing with God. You lay your head on your pillow at night and you don't fear going to sleep. And you don't fear death because you know if Jesus comes, I'm ready to go. And there's something joyful about knowing that you're in right standing with God. I like to be in right standing with God, and I like to be in right standing with other people. I don't like it when I'm mad at somebody, and I don't like it when somebody's mad at me. I can't sleep good. I can't rest. I can't. It's sucking my joy. Doesn't make me happy. And so I try to make it right. Oh, that's why the Bible says don't let the sun go down on your wrath. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let a day pass being angry with somebody. Go make it right. Say you're sorry. Apologize to your wife. Well, it wasn't my fault. It don't matter whose fault it is. As a priest of your household, husband, make it right. Say you're sorry. She'll say, I know, and everything will be all right. Psalms chapter 19, verse number 8. The commandments of the Lord. Pastor, I don't like them commandments. They're too strict. I don't like those commandments. I don't like those thou shalt nots. I like to do what I want to do. I understand. I mean, there's some people I want to kill too. But then I remember the commandments. Thou shalt not. And I think about the consequences. I wouldn't do good in jail. I don't look good in orange. I look good in green. I'm not going to do good. And I think about that. I go, you know what? I'm not going to do that because it's not right. And it wouldn't make me feel good. And I want to do what's right. Because David said the commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. Oh, I'm telling you, when you obey God's laws, when you obey the commands of God's word, when you do what is right, it brings joy to your heart. Every person in here, we have, amen, the Holy Spirit in us, and we've got a conscience, and when we do wrong, we're not happy, and we're not joyful, and we feel ashamed. Sometime in the summer, I'm going to preach a series because everybody always says, shame on you. Anybody ever said that to you? Shame on you. And we're carrying around a lot of shame. I'm going to preach a little series called Shame Off You. How many's ready to get some shame off of you? Well, I'm going to tell you one way to do that is just do what's right. If you don't want to be ashamed, do what's right. As we begin to do what's right, the commandments of the Lord are right, and it brings joy to our heart. The commands of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. Oh, I love freedom. Aren't you glad that Christ hath made you free? But did you know Christ didn't make you free to do whatever you wanted to? No, Christ made you free. He set you free to do what is right. You see, freedom is restraint. Freedom is a yard fenced in. See, when your yard's fenced in, you can let your kids go out there and they have freedom, but they have boundaries. And as long as they stay within those boundaries, they can be free to have fun. But it's when they get outside that they get in trouble. It's when we get outside the boundaries of God's laws and His commands and what He set up. Amen. We're free, but we're free to do what's right, not whatever we want to. See, the world's got that mixed up. Well, I can do whatever I want. No. We're free to do what's right because God's commands are clear and they give insight for living. Oh, Proverbs 15:30 says a cheerful look brings joy to the heart. So why are you laughing? Just because I smiled at you? Why in the world would anybody want your Christianity? Huh? Heard that preacher say one time, you look like you've been sucking on a dill pickle sideways all week. You're all prune-faced. You're all mad. You're all downcast and sad. Why would anybody want what you have? Listen, we've got to understand and know the freedom, amen, of the Lord and the joy of the Lord. Amen. No, everything is not right. No, I'm not perfect. Yes, I fail and make mistakes. Oh, but His grace is sufficient, and I'm forgiven, and I'm loved, and I'm on my way to heaven, and that brings me joy. And it should put a smile on my face. Huh? A cheerful look brings joy to the heart. And good news makes for good health. I like good news. Y'all like good news? I like good news. I can promise you, when they got to the airport and they got up there ready to get on their airplane and they said, your flight's canceled till Monday. I promise you, I know my family. I hope y'all are listening today. I promise you, none of them went, woohoo! Yes! Nobody clapped. They didn't hug each other going, woohoo! That's just what we were believing for. No, nobody was happy. But you know what? I also promise you, it didn't steal their joy. They just experienced an amazing trip. They just got to see things, and now they just got to extend it, and now they're getting to see lots of states. So be happy. Enjoy the beauty of the trip. Enjoy. Don't just make it about the destination. Listen, circumstances can steal your happiness, but nothing can steal your joy. The devil can fight you tooth and toenail, but he can't steal your joy, because it's the joy of the Lord. And Jesus said that my joy would remain in you, that your joy might be full. You say, Pastor, my joy is not full. Then you need more of the joy of the Lord. You need more Jesus joy. Because he said, my joy. It's my joy. It's the joy of the goodness of God. It's the joy, amen, of his love. It's the joy of his grace and his mercy. It's the joy, amen, that fills your heart, that fills you up regardless of your circumstances. Amen? I like this scripture. I've been trying to get to this scripture all morning. Ecclesiastes 8:15. So, I recommend having fun. Woo, come on. Oh, y'all didn't get that. Let me say it again. Y'all thought I was reading a fortune cookie. I'm reading the Bible here. Y'all didn't know that was in the Bible, did you? Y'all thought you were supposed to all be dignified and stuck up and need to look. Yeah, I need to look holy. So I recommend, Ecclesiastes 8:15. I'm reading out on the New Living Version, New Living Translation, NLT. No, NLT, there you go. I don't know. I just recommend having fun. That's what he said. So I recommend having fun. Listen, we've lost our fun. We've lost having fun. We stopped making church fun. I tell parents all the time, do not use church as punishment. Your kids get in trouble. Well, I'm taking you to church. Church shouldn't be punishment for bad behavior. Church should be, when you say let's go to church, everybody should jump for joy. They should get excited because we're going to go to church and we're going to have some fun. We're going to start by eating some donuts. I don't know about you. I like donuts. They're fun. Sugar is fun. Coffee is fun. All that fruit and fellowshipping with one another and talking. And I come stand there and I look at everybody and people are talking and they're laughing and they're having fun. Church should be fun. And we come in here and we worship and we sing and we shouldn't look like, we're just like tied up in a box. You shouldn't look like you're kidnapped when you're worshiping. You should have fun. Worshiping God should be fun. Amen? Fellowshipping with believers is fun. Going to the food bank and working is fun. Serving the Lord is fun. He said, so I recommend having fun. Oh, I recommend it to you. Could I recommend you have a little more fun? Some of y'all look like you need to have fun. Some of you look like you hadn't had fun in a while. That's good preaching right there. Come on, let me finish the scripture. It gets better. It gets gooder and gooder. So I recommend having fun, because there's nothing better than people in the world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. There's a whole lot of you not enjoying life anymore. You're not enjoying life. Listen, can I tell you? Diets are not fun. Sometimes they're necessary, but they're not fun. No, they're not. We're doing a new thing. We've been doing this, what's it called? I don't even know what it's called. Intermittent fasting. So we fast 16 hours a day, and we only eat for 8. And I just want to share with you, it's not fun. I like to eat 20 hours a day and fast for 4. But, you know, you can't do that. I like eating right before bed, waking up in the middle of the night, having a snack, and, you know, sometimes you can't sleep. But it's not fun. But the problem is, I've been having too many donuts. I've been having too much fun, and so now that I'm trying to, you know, you got to balance it. But listen, it's not fun. But he said, I recommend fun because there's nothing better for people in this world than to eat, drink, and enjoy life. That way, they will experience some happiness along with all the hard work God gives them under the sun. Can I tell you today, life is hard. Work is hard. I don't care what you do. You may love it. I love my job. There was nothing else I'd rather do, but sometimes it's hard work. But you know what? He said, I recommend you have some fun. I recommend that you enjoy life. I enjoy that while you're doing the hard work that God gave you, along the way that you enjoy the journey. So many times we get so focused that we don't enjoy the journey. We don't enjoy the people around us. We don't enjoy our, you know, I'm trying to enjoy my grandchildren more than I enjoyed my children. Now, I enjoyed my children, but we were strict on them and hard on them. And, you know, there was things. Papa's not going to be like that with granddaughters. Huh? Now, they're going to mind. Don't get me wrong. They're going to mind. We've already told. We tell them no. Oh, but we love having fun. They bring joy to my heart. Can I tell you, you bring joy to God's heart? Listen, some of y'all, he just looks at you and laughs. Some of you I bring joy to the Lord. He looks down at me and goes, bless your heart. I bring joy to him. Even in our, listen, when we do stupid things, when our kids did stupid things, when, you know, we would, when they even when they did some things wrong, and we would be like, and we would correct them, and then behind the scenes we were like, we didn't let them know it. Can I tell you, the Lord loves you. He wants you to be joyful. He wants you to be happy. He wants you to live life along the way while you are working hard. He wants you to enjoy life. Oh, I read another scripture. I didn't write it down, but he said, enjoy the fat and drink the sweet. After church, I already been thinking, I think I want to be a big old fat ribeye and some sweet tea. You know why? Because it's scriptural. He said, eat the fat and drink the sweet. Hallelujah. I might upgrade it to a Dr. Pepper. I fast it off later. Next time I say, why are you eating that fat stuff? Because the Bible says so. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, and enjoy your life, because it's a lot of hard work. And you can't be sad all the time. And you can't be depressed all the time. And you can't have a frown on your face all the time. You got to do some fun stuff. I love every Christmas. I love watching and seeing the pictures and the videos of Sister Sandra's family. They're crazy. And you know what? They get it from her. You know why? Because she's fun. She's fun. She pranks me all the time. Sometimes the last one really scared me. She likes to prank. She likes to have fun. She likes to laugh. Oh, but she loves Jesus with all of her heart. And when people look at her, they see the joy of the Lord. And that makes them want to know more about the Lord. Because she's so fun. I watch their videos. I watch them. She comes up with some of the craziest games and craziest things. This last Christmas, or I've seen it a couple of times. I mean, she had mouse traps all over the floor. And made the kids blindfold themselves and walk through them. And the other people, when they miss one, they'd get down there and just put it in front of them just so they would hit it. I think they won some money. People will do anything for money. I've seen them do some of the craziest, funny. It's fun. We got to get back to having fun, enjoying life. Let's have more birthday celebrations. Let's have more quinceañeras. Let's have more weddings. Let's have more. Listen, we've got enough funerals. We're going to have those all the time, aren't we? But you know what? Let's begin to live life. Let's have fun. He said, I recommend fun because life is hard. You're going to have to work hard. You got to laugh sometimes. Amen? Where's Luke? There he is. I got a good one for you, Luke. Okay? He's our computer tech guy. Tell y'all about some computer stuff. Y'all ready? Hey, do y'all know, is our computers male or female? See that right now? It's the big debate in the world. People don't know what's a girl, what's a boy. I think it's simple. You can just go to the bathroom doors and read it. It says it right there on the wall. Men, women. Pretty simple, isn't it? But the world's confused. But they're trying to figure out whether computers were male or female. Now, if you don't like this joke, it's Brother Billy's. So it's all his fault. He's the one sending it to me. And that's why I love it. He sends me all this funny stuff. And I love to get around it because I love his laugh. People have lost their laugh. They've lost their joy. Listen, even in the midst of pain and the things he goes through, he can still laugh. You got to learn to laugh through your pain. You got to learn to laugh through your trials and your tribulations. Because listen, the trials and tribulations are not going to last, but the joy of the Lord lasts forever. Amen? So there was a whole group of adults. I think Luke might have been in this course. They were taking a computer science course at this community college. So the professor, he decided to split them up into men and women and told them, I need you to decide and determine our computers male or female. So they got together and they did their research and they did everything and they come back together and the men got to go first. And they said the men were unanimously agreement that computers are female. They need to be referred to in the female gender. Now the reasons the men came up with, they had four reasons, four good reasons. Number one, no one but their creator understands their internal logic. Number two, when computers communicate with each other, they speak in code language that only them and experts can understand. Number three, every mistake that you make is stored on their internal hard drive for later retrieval. And number four, as soon as you commit to one, you realize that you got to spend your whole paycheck accessorizing it. But it was the women's turn. The women came up and they said, we have searched this out, we've looked at it, and we have unanimously decided that computers are male. The teacher said, okay, how do you know that? They said, well, we've got four reasons. Number one, in order to get their attention, you have to turn them on. We're talking about having more fun, okay? It's okay to laugh. Number two, they have a lot of data, but they still cannot think for themselves. Number three, they're supposed to help you solve problems, but half the time they are the problem. And finally, as soon as you commit to one, you realize if you'd have waited a little longer, you could have got a better model. Woo! They say if you can buy a computer, it's already out of date. There's something better coming down the pike. Now, I'm not sure if it's male or female. I just don't know. I think they both have some valid points. I'm not going to take sides. Did you know that Proverbs said a glad heart makes a happy face? Man, y'all look so much better smiling. You sound so much better laughing. Your family, your children, your spouse is going to want to be, or people are going to want to be around you more if you're happy. They're going to want to be around you more if there's joy. If when they leave your presence, they feel better instead of worse. Come on, we need to allow the joy of the Lord to so fill our hearts that it attracts people to us. The joy of the Lord is your strength. So, we've heard that scripture. I've quoted it now about 10 times, haven't I? But do you know where this scripture is found? Do you know the context in which this scripture was spoken? Do you know what it's talking about? Let me tell you. So Nehemiah, the walls of Jerusalem had been torn down. They were in shambles. He had a desire to rebuild the walls. He had got permission. The king had supplied the need. They had went. They had worked hard. I preached that to you not long ago. Everybody built their part of the wall. Amen. They worked hard. And I mean, they began to restore. You got to begin to restore some things that the devil has broken down. Sometimes the process of getting your joy is hard work. But they did it, and they did their part, and they got the walls restored. And in the process, they found the law. They haven't heard the law. They haven't been read the law. It had been lost. So Ezra the scribe, they built a platform. The elders stood, and you can read it. They stood all around. And all the people stood. And he read the law of Moses from morning all the way to midday. They heard the word, and they explained it to them, and they understood it. When you hear the word of God and you understand it, it causes repentance. When you understand that without God you're nothing, that you're lost, you're a sinner, that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, when you understand that and you accept Him as your Lord and Savior, it will bring joy into your life like you've never experienced. Because Jesus said, it's my joy that I put in you that your joy may be full. See, what you've been experiencing without Jesus is just happiness. It's by circumstance. Sometime you are, sometime you're not. But there's an emptiness on the inside. Because there's a place in your life that only God can fill. Only the joy of the Lord. And so Ezra stood up, and this is Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. This is King James first. It says, and Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was above the people, just like I am. And when he opened it, all the people stood up, and Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. And all the people answered, amen, amen, with lifting of their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. Can I tell y'all what that sounds like to me? Sounds like church. Sounds like what we did this morning. It sounds like what we're doing right now. They got together. They worked hard. They built. You've been working hard in building the kingdom and building your life and building your family. You come together. I'm reading you the word of God, the law. And when you hear it and you understand it and you say, ooh, I got to respond to it. I got to get my life right. I've got to act right. I've got to do right. I've got to accept what God has done. I've got to accept the gift of God, which is salvation through Jesus. Oh, and when they did that, oh, they said amen and amen, and they worshiped. They had some church that day. And then Nehemiah, here's that scripture. I told you I'd get to it. I spoiled it earlier. I just got so happy. You ever get so excited you get ahead of yourself? Here it is. Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions unto them whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to the Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh, listen, you've heard that scripture, but did you even know where it was? You know what he's talking about? Listen, you don't get the joy of the Lord until you hear the word of God, till you know his commands, until you accept, until you obey, until you do. And then he said, okay, now you've heard the word, you've received it, you've accepted it. Now it's not the time to be sorrowful anymore. It's the day to rejoice. Come on, go eat, drink, be merry. Come on, get you a good steak, drink you Dr. Pepper. And then he said, send some to somebody that don't have any prepared. Why don't you just go bless somebody else? Why don't you buy somebody else's meal? Come on, when you got joy, you want to share it. When you're happy, when something good happens to you, don't you just want to tell everybody? What do? You put it on Facebook. That's what you do. That's what we do nowadays, don't we? Listen, I know what everybody's doing. I know where everybody's at. I know where all the specials are. Because I look at your pictures. I don't comment. I just stalk you. Say, Pastor, that sounds kind of creepy. Woo, I'm all up in your business. Huh? Yeah. Yeah. Now who's creepy? Yeah, so go on and stalk. Go on and watch. You're going to see some fun stuff. We try to have fun, don't we? We try to have fun. You know why? Because we work hard. And life's hard. And sometimes you got to take a break and you got to go do something fun. Get with your friends. Get with your family. Come on, do something fun. You got kids that play soccer? Sign them up for Pastor's new soccer clinic. It's fun. And it'll teach them something. That's been a desire in his heart for years. And it just came to fruition. He just started his first one. And you know what? He's having fun. Listen, when God puts a dream in your heart and you work hard for it and you begin to do it, it's fun to see what God is doing in your life. They say if you do what you love, you'll never work a day in your life. Joy. Do you want more joy? Oh, yeah. I want to read this whole thing to you in Nehemiah 8. It's just two verses, but in the New Living. It says, then Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe, and the Levites who were interpreting for the people said to them, don't mourn or weep on such a day as this, for today is a sacred day before the Lord your God. For the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. I'm going to tell you something. When you hear the word, you're watching me online today, and you're going, I don't have this joy. I need this joy. I don't know if I die right now, I'd go to heaven. I'm not happy. I don't know what to do. I'm telling you, you're hearing it, and you're sad, and you're weeping. But I'm about to tell you how to get happy. They heard the word, and it made them sad, and they mourned. But then they obeyed. You read the continued on. They begin to look at that. They said, oh, we're supposed to build these tents, and they did it. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to fast. We're supposed to do, and they did it. They heard the word, and they did it. Today, you come to church every Sunday, but do you go out and do it? The Bible says, don't be a hearer of the word only, but be a doer. I want to be a doer. Amen? Not just a sayer. Anybody can say it. It's easy to say. It's hard to do. Huh? Yeah. But he said to them, y'all been weeping. You've repented. Now it's time for celebration. And Nehemiah continued, go and celebrate with a feast of rich foods and sweet drinks, and share gifts of food with people who have nothing prepared. This is a sacred day before our Lord. Don't be dejected and sad, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Hallelujah. Listen to this last scripture. Psalms 32:2. David said, yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt, whose lives are lived in complete honesty. Whew. Listen. Yes, what joy for those whose record the Lord has cleared of guilt. Anybody have a record? Huh? Did you know that God keeps record of every idle word? Every word that's ever come out of your mouth, every thought in your mind, every intent of your heart, every action you've ever done, every sin you've ever committed, every law you've ever broken has been recorded. And we would have to stand before God and give an account. But Jesus, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And you know what he does when you say, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm honest with myself and I'm honest with God. I've sinned. I've messed up. I've failed. Forgive me. And the Bible says, what joy for those whose record has been cleared. Whew. I don't know about you. I'm happy about a clean record. Woo, I got a clean record. That's good, isn't it? Yeah, because I know what I did. But it's forgiven. It's under the blood. My record has been, what they call that? It, expunged? Expunged. Woo! He took a big sponge with the blood of Jesus and just blotted it out. Though my sins were as scarlet, they're white as snow. I don't know about you, but that brings joy to my heart. Because I was a little hoodlum when I was a kid. I was a wretch. But amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And guess what? He'll save a wretch like you. And he'll save a wretch like you sitting in your car, sitting at home, in that jail cell, in that hospital. He loves you. You may be a wretch. You may have failed. You may have sinned. But he loves you, and he wants to clear your record. And he wants to fill your heart with joy. We started out talking about St. Patrick's Day. He brought Christianity to Ireland, even through a bad situation. I think if I had been captured and taken there, I don't think I'd ever want to go back. Those people could just all die and go to hell. What they did to me, he could have held a grudge, couldn't he? But see, God got a hold of his heart. You know what he said? Let me share with you one of the quotes from St. Patrick. He who believes shall be saved, But he who does not believe shall be damned. We know that's a scripture. He said, God has spoken. I most certainly believe that is the gift of God, that I am what I am. Today, God wants to make you a new person. You say, I don't like who I am. He'll make you new. He'll cleanse your heart. He'll forgive your sins. He'll make you a new creation. He also said, quote, Christ beside me, Christ before me, Christ behind me, Christ within me, Christ beneath me, and Christ above me. Kind of sounds to me like he was surrounded by Jesus. And today you can be surrounded by Jesus. Today he wants to fill your heart with joy. Listen, a heart that's full of sin, a heart that is hurting and broken because of life, it's hard to be joyful. You have moments of happiness, but today the Lord wants to fill you with his joy. Today he wants to expunge your record. He wants to wash you and cleanse you and make you his child. He paid the price for your sins. And he told the disciples as he went to each one, come and follow me. Today, do you want to be a Christ follower? You see, I didn't ask if you wanted to be a church attender. See, I didn't ask if you wanted to be a Christian. Many people think just because we live in America, we're Christian. I'm asking you today, do you want to be a Christ follower? Jesus said, take up your cross. It's not going to be easy. Everybody won't like it. But he said, take up my cross and follow me. Oh, I'm so glad we're getting ready to go into that season. Palm Sunday next week. Bring your palms. We're going to celebrate. We're getting ready to celebrate the resurrection. But there's no resurrection without a death. Today, you must die to yourself, to your flesh. And you must ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. You must ask him to forgive you of your sins and allow him to wash and cleanse you. He paid the price. He paid the penalty for your sin. All you have to do is receive the free gift of salvation.